practice interviewing today. Let me tell you a little bit about our format. Basically, we have invited Joan Sage, who is the nation's second largest law firm, and hire of many of our students to come and do this demonstration mock interview today. So we're very delighted to have Jeffrey Jones, who in addition is the hiring partner at Joan Sage for the Columbus office. And basically, he will begin by talking about what the firm looks for in candidates. As you watch the interviews unfold, you're going to want to see the kinds of questions that he asks in order to be able to get the kind of information that he needs to be able to recommend to a hiring committee that the students be brought back for a second, more extensive set of interviews. In your packet of materials on page 7 from the 1L handbook, you will see Jeffrey's bio. On page 9, you will see information about the firm, Jones Day. And this is the sort of information where you would start your research of a law firm. Once Jeff is finished, we're going to ask the two people who are going to be the interviewees to come forward and talk about what they want to convey during the interview so that you can get an assessment of how successful they are at being able to advance their own agenda during the course of a very short interview. We're going to keep them to about 15 minutes. Once the interviews are done, we're going to do a critique. Lindsay Jones and I will ask questions, make comments, as will the participants, and then we'll take questions from the floor. So we'll have you out here at 12:50. We'll do our best. I'd also like to recognize Jane Shields, who is the recruitment coordinator and everything else at the firm. Jane, just raise your hand. Mm-hmm. She takes care of everything, and we're very delighted that she was helpful to us today in terms of coordinating. And if you don't know Lindsay Jones, Lindsay, you raise your hand. She will help in the critiquing aspect of it as well. So, Jeff, I don't think you need to come up to the podium unless you want to, because of the size of the crowd, whatever you're comfortable
with. Well, thank you. She asked me to speak just a little bit about what firms look for in the interview, and the answer is sort of depends on the interviewer. Different people look for different things. Believe it or not, we all have bizarre, some kind of strange interests, and we don't have sort of a monolithic mindset. Some people love to, focus on academics. Some people love to focus on outside interests, and so it tends to be a range of things. But some very common things I think that firms are looking for is, what is your interest in that geography? This is not so much true with Ohio State students interviewing in Columbus, because you all have an obvious connection. It's particularly true, I think, if you're interviewing in Chicago, Los Angeles, New York. A lot of those firms, and we will as well if we've got somebody from out of state. But one issue they'll have is, are you interested in this geography and why? It's not a huge deal, but they want to know, is it something other than just a vacation or things like that? Obviously, they're interested in academic excellence, academic accomplishments, undergraduate records, law school record. That's always obviously a source of questions and an area of interest. One thing they're often looking for is just, are you a normal person that people would enjoy working with? If people think the process is a mysterious one, but it's actually not all that mysterious. You're looking for a place that you think you'll fit, that you will enjoy, and believe it or not, the employer is looking for people that they think will enjoy working there, will enjoy doing what they do, and will be fun. We think life is short, you ought to enjoy what you do along the way. And we spend a lot of time with our coworkers, and so we want to be able to enjoy working with them as much as they want. They want to enjoy working with us, and I think that's probably true for most employers. So a lot of times people are just looking for people that are fun, seem like they're good people. They can carry on a conversation with clients that won't be too quiet, if you will, during the interview. So those are all things that we're looking for. We're also looking for people that have an interest in what we do. If you are very interested in workers' compensation, say, for example, we don't really do that at our firm. Many firms do, many great firms do. Divorce work, we don't really do that, for example. Many great firms do, but those are examples. And we're also looking for people that will enjoy, hopefully enjoy, practicing law. And to the extent I think people can convey, you know, that I have an interest in, you know, I think I'm going to like this, I think I'm going to enjoy that. I mean, those kinds of things people are sometimes looking for during the process. One of the things people sometimes look for are these people that have challenged themselves in some way. Whether it's soccer, playing the piano, being on Law Journal, have they challenged themselves in a way and done something great in something? And that's always very impressive. Most of us have not accomplished a whole lot. We have very few accomplishments in our own lives, and we love to interview people that have great accomplishments because we sort of live vicariously through them. So anything you have in that regard in the resume or that you want to hit on and talk about, those are some of the themes, I guess, some of the things that interviewers, I think, are looking for, not just at Jones Day, but at firms sort of all over both Columbus and in other states. Obviously, again, it varies by interviewer, it varies by firm, but those, I think, are some of the things that are going through the interviewer's mind.
Thank you.
I'm going to do the first interview a little bit more like I might interview, and then the second interview I'm going to do sort of a collection of perhaps tougher stuff maybe, but things that other interviewers use that I don't particularly like, but they're things that you'll encounter, so it'd be fun to see. Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm pretty good. So tell me a little bit about your week. How's it going?
It's actually been pretty busy. I'm participating in our Marine Corps competition this week, so we've been having a bunch of moves, which has been going pretty well, I think, steadily improving.
What's the problem?
There's two main issues. There's a Fourth Amendment issue and a Fifth Amendment, and I'm arguing a Fifth Amendment issue. So it's a Miranda violation and an Edwards.
So do you have the big loser, or do you have the winner?
Hopefully the winner. It's actually a pretty close question, so I think it'll really be down to the advocacy.
Well, tell me a little bit about sort of where are you looking geographically, and where do you want to end up in life, and that kind of thing.
I'm actually asking myself those same questions. Well, I grew up in Cleveland, and after I went to school in Virginia, I worked in D.C. for a couple years, and now came back to Columbus, and I live with my brother here. So Columbus is home in some sense, and I'm certainly looking here pretty actively, and I'm also considering going back to perhaps D.C. or looking at New York and Chicago also.
Oh, good. Well, do you have any idea about sort of what kind of law you're interested in?
I do. After my first year summer, I had a chance to experience a little bit of corporate and litigation, and I think that that confirmed for me that I'd like to do litigation. I really enjoy writing, and it would be a good opportunity for me during the summer to focus exclusively on litigation.
Yeah, well, obviously I'm a litigator, so I'm a little biased. I think you're leaning the right way, but don't tell the corporate people to that. Well, so did you work at Thompson High last year, or one summer?
Yes, after my first year summer in Cleveland.
Now, how did you like that?
I liked it a lot. I felt pretty fortunate to get a firm job after my first year summer. Kind of just luck and how the cards fall. So I was really glad to have that opportunity. And had a nice, the firm was about 150 attorneys, and my summer class was about 28. So I thought it was a nice size to get a sense for if I'd enjoy practicing in a larger office or maybe if I prefer a smaller office.
Well, tell me a little bit about law school. What's your favorite class?
Well, I'm actually taking Judge Sutton's Supreme Court litigation seminar right now. And it's been great. I really like it. It's just, we just talk about current issues that are before the court and how the court may resolve them, kind of identifying the ideology of the different justices. So it's been, and there's great war stories. We've got them right there. He has a lot of good stories to share.
Now, I won't tell him if you tell me this, but is he a really bad professor or is he a good professor?
No, he's great. He's really great. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, I'll tell him so then, even though I know you're faking. Well, so now you were at Booz Allen for a while?
Yes.
And did you want to be something else in life and then switch to law, or what? How did that happen?
Yeah, I was actually, in my third and fourth year of undergrad, I was considering going to business school or going to law school, and I didn't think that I knew exactly what betting like at the time that I graduated. So I decided to just work for a little bit and make sure. I think law school was pretty easy. It's only three years, but 3 years is kind of a long time, and certainly a big financial commitment, so I wanted to be certain that I was making the right choice. So I worked for about 6 months for a boutique firm that specialized in environmental insurance and intellectual property, and then I had the opportunity to work at Booz Allen, and it seemed like it was too good to pass up to work for the Department of Homeland Security at that time. So I worked there for just under 2 years.
Yeah, well, that's good. Well, how do you like law school so far?
I think it's steadily improved. While year I thought was a difficult adjustment, I actually had the misfortune of breaking my foot the day before classes started. So I was hobbling around in crutches probably through the middle of October, which was not great.
How did you break that?
Kind of an embarrassing way. I was trying to pull a spider, and I was standing on my bed, and I fell there. So, and unfortunately...
You may want to try to groom next time.
Well, yeah. Unfortunately, some of the orientation asked me what happened, and I was not thinking quickly at my feet, and so I was stuck with the story.
I broke my arm once because my brothers fell on me, but it's not nearly as good. I'm trying to kill a spider. Well, so now you've got baking and decorating and legal thrillers. Do you enjoy that?
Yes, and actually, I was a waitress when I was at Charlottesville for my undergrad, and I had the opportunity to serve John Christian lunch, and he was not actually very talkative, but it was kind of still a clean thing. So I actually really love those types of books. I'm not sure why I kind of missed it just then, but...
So what would be your favorite recent legal thriller?
I'm trying to think what I just read. I think, frankly, they all kind of blend together a little bit. I think I just read the one where it's like the judge leaves a will and...
isn't it just called The Will or something?
Maybe, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, well now, watching college football, do you have a favorite team?
Well, of course, yeah, I have a favorite team.
That's always a plus when you change it when you go to some other
team. Well, it's hard. I mean, rooting for the ACC football is always kind of a challenging task, but I kind of keep up with it.
Now, this says training for the marathon. Did you just train, or did you actually do it?
No, I actually completed it. The Marine Corps, the last 500, I think it's 500 feet are uphill, which we think is kind of their way of loving the rest of us who are not as physically elite. But it was a challenging day for sure. It ended up actually being much hotter than it was supposed to be. So people were shedding layers and clothes were strewn all over the place because it was supposed to be like 25 degrees or something when we started, but ended up being up to about 60.
Now, did you, what classes are you taking right now?
I'm taking federal courts. I'm taking Judge Sutton's seminar. I'm also taking the 14th Amendment with Professor Takagi, who has the election law here. Mm-hmm. And I'm also taking a trial practice class.
Now, this, I think, says that you got the best brief.
It's the Herman Interest School competition that's held in the spring of our second year. It is basically the interest school competition to get onto a team to compete this year, which is what I've been practicing for with my arguments this week. So our topic was Thompson v. Rumsfeld, which was a really challenging topic. There was international law issues, and statutory issues, and congressional and presidential power, and it was quite a bit to get your head around, I think. I didn't really know anything about international law before that, but it turned out to be a pretty interesting issue.
Now, I don't quite, I'm not sure I can pronounce all the words in your thesis, but I'm not entirely sure what it means, but what was your thesis about undergrad?
Well, in undergrad, we took three semesters, each of the first semester we do exclusively in an Oxford tutorial system. So we do metaphysics, ethics, epistemology, and our fourth semester was for advanced metaphysics. So I thought I was going to be in ethics, and I actually ended up choosing epistemology. So Plant is actually a professor at Notre Dame, or he was at least a couple years ago. So I was writing and critiquing on his epistemological theory.
And what's the bottom line? What did you conclude?
Well, it's certainly always between the theory and critiquing that they're wrong to your own theory. So I thought that there were a couple flaws that in his theory that he was trying to account for gaps in previous theories, and I think that while he may have kind of filled those gaps, he ended up creating new problems for his own theory.
Now, what's the Young Women's Leadership Mentor?
That was a group of women that we would, especially kind of like a mentoring group where we would take school-age girls. I think the girl I met with, she was in sixth grade at the time. And it's usually kind of between fifth and eighth grade. And we just all meet together and talk about how, that's kind of a tough time. I think girls can be particularly catty at that point. So we were trying to make sure that they could work together instead of against each other and make sure they're getting involved in activities and, if they didn't have support elsewhere, that we could kind of meet them on the ground to turn to.
You could maybe give me some advice if I have a 11-year-old daughter too, so maybe we can figure that out at some point. So what are you looking for in a law firm? What are you hoping to find?
I'm pretty much exclusively focusing my search on large law firms. I think that the opportunity they provide as far as the sophistication of the legal problems is certainly something that I like to be challenged by. I think also the resources in terms of the institutional knowledge where I can kind of go to a call and talk to someone who has been practicing this area for 30 years and just see how they might approach it. I think that that type of advantage that a large law firm provides is being able to write drafts and have older associates and partners critique my work and figure out how I could say something better or more effectively would really help me grow as an attorney.
Now, Mark, do you know a little bit about Yonte, I assume?
I do.
Do you have a question that you're sort of trying to learn the answers to as you go through the day? We usually like to give people a chance to do that.
Well, I guess some of my questions would be, you know, since I am just really interested in, you know, kind of interaction with people with more experience, is that something where being assigned to projects, is it normally a group of young associates, or is it, you know, a young associate and then more of a senior associate and interaction with partners, or how do you staff your projects?
I mean, I think at least at Jump Day Columbus, we tend to have the continuum. We have the larger cases where you have maybe teams of, you know, 10 lawyers around the country or 20, and then we may have a lot of matters that are maybe one personal associate. So I tend to think that you learn a little bit from the smaller cases, but you also learn a little bit from the larger cases. So having a little bit of a mix is kind of a nice thing. Do you find yourself sort of gravitating towards one kind of litigation or another, or is it just kind of whatever litigation may come?
I like appellate litigation. I think that having had some exposure after my first year summer to kind of the product work, that I might be more inclined to steer clear of that. And I have a little bit of exposure to bankruptcy, which was complicated and a little bit overwhelming at first, but I also thought that was pretty interesting.
Now, are you interviewing with government positions too, or not?
No, right now I'm not.
Is there anything else that we can sort of share with you as you go through the day, or if we sort of exhausted what you might want to know?
No, actually,
those are
my
new
questions.
Okay, well, thanks.
Thank you.
All right.
Focus on one thing at a time, although sometimes it's a weakness. I think I also think of it as a pretty big strength of mine, is that I don't let things go by the wayside. I don't feel comfortable unless I've completed something or I have given an issue my complete focus. And so I think that's something I pride myself in, and I think that is a strength, to be able to see things through to the end. I also would think that I generally get along well with people, and that's not only just important, I think, to establish good relationships because it's enjoyable, but also I think when people enjoy each other's company, you work better. It creates kind of a positive environment that people feed off each other and do better. And I think, generally speaking, I'm pretty good at that.
Well, do you know what kind of law you might like to do?
Well, right now, I'm leaning towards litigation versus a corporate practice, but obviously, I haven't really been out into the real practice of law yet, so what those terms mean to me might not actually be what I understand to be what may not be what's actually out there. So I'm trying to kind of keep my options open. If I had to say, I'd probably be in litigation.
And tell me a little bit, where are you looking sort of geographically?
Well, I was fortunate enough to get married a couple months ago, and my wife is a teacher here in Columbus, and she made it known to me that she's going to be staying in Columbus. So maybe if we've been married for many, many years, I would be looking elsewhere, but we're still doing it. So I think I would like to stay in Columbus.
So you're interviewing primarily with firms in Columbus then?
Yes, exclusively, actually.
What did you do at the Pet Warehouse?
I was a customer service representative, which entailed having a headset on my phone. It was a pet supply phone order catalog company. And so if people had problems with their orders or didn't come on time or it was wrong, I tried to talk them down from the ledge and calm them down. I remember we started selling live fish at one point while I was there. And maybe, you know, I wasn't in charge there, and perhaps selling live fish through the mail seemed like a very good idea to people in charge. Speaking from my experience, I don't make phone calls of dead fish that had arrived, and so it was an interesting experience of this sort.
So you'd have people call you that said the fish I bought arrived dead?
Oh, absolutely. For a variety of reasons, too. I mean, I believe several of it was because the Postal Service, although the boxes, you know, they say live animal delivery in, you know, 4 hours or whatever they did it, would leave it on people's porches when they weren't home. So you'd have people that were gone for several days and they'd come home to the rotting stench of fish on the porch.
So did they have a set script that you would have to use to respond to these complaints?
No. Well, no, there were points of emphasis. You know, you don't want to deflect responsibility, but you also don't necessarily want to make the customer feel like we can't do the job, and therefore, you know, they will order their fish through the mail from somebody else. So
you
want the service.
Can you offer to send another fish?
Oh, we do. Yes.
By mail. Well, what do you think is your best accomplishment?
I would say, to be honest, it would be coming to Ohio State Law School. I didn't make the decision to go to law school until very late in my undergraduate career. I was actually into more than halfway through my junior year in college before I even started considering going to law school. And even when I did, I feared that I might not be as successful as I had hoped, and so I was nervous that I wouldn't be able to maybe get into a very good institution like Ohio State because I made that decision so late, but fortunately I pulled it together and I was able to.
Now, outside of classes, what sort of takes up most of your time in law school?
Well, outside of classes, to be honest, I'm kind of a TV junkie. I actually recently saved Best Buy gift certificates that I had gotten for over 2 years, for birthdays, Christmases, etc. I saved up because I didn't want a big TV. And so I saved for a long time, and I was able to get that. And so out of class, there's a spot on my couch that, that takes up a lot of my time. But other than that, I'm a big sports fan. I like to play sports. And I like to be outside when I'm not enjoying
it. Now, are you on journal?
I am, yes.
And do you find that boring, or do you find that interesting?
I find it at times interesting. I wouldn't like to call it boring, but I think there are times when the work that it calls for is not exciting necessarily. There's a lot of fine-tooth comb going on, and which is a good thing, though. Even if I don't necessarily enjoy that, it's teaching me a valuable skill that I should hope is going to help me in my career, being precise and sticking very closely to the details and things like that.
Now, how do you get on journal at this law school? Is it by grades or by writing?
Both. There is the top 10% gets on this particular journal. There are four other journals, though, that are also open. And then there is a writing competition. And I think typically the journal gets half of their membership via grades and half through the writing competition.
What class would you say is the class that you struggled with the most?
I struggled with appellate advocacy, which is a class that all the students from Ohio State would take in their second year, where you get it's kind of like moot court, where you get a live Supreme Court case and you write a brief and then you give an argument at the end. And it's not that I didn't necessarily do poorly in the class. I thought going into second year that appellate law was what I really wanted to do. And so I don't know if I overestimated my ability in that class based on hopes, because that's what I wanted to do. But I don't know that it requires a lot of time. It's a very, very time intensive class. And I don't know that I necessarily put the time in it needed to be very, very successful. And so I kind of struggled with that, especially when grades came out.
Well, what questions do you have for the firm?
Well, one question I've had is, because as I said, I recently got married and we are very much looking to stay in Columbus, I noticed that obviously Jones Day has many offices around the country and around the world, in fact. And I was just curious, is it typical at all for people to be transferred out, or do you get to stay in the office that you join?
Usually after 1 year, everybody has to move to another office. we don't. People will occasionally move, usually for personal reasons. Like my best friend moved to Pittsburgh, his wife moved to Pittsburgh, and so he asked to move to that office, and they did. One of my other friends, actually, there's a pattern for me, my friend, but another friend of mine, his wife was from North Carolina, and so he moved to our Atlanta office. We had one woman who went to our Paris office for 2 years. But they were all opportunities that were made available to them. Every once in a while, usually senior partners, there's a particular practice they're trying to establish in San Francisco or something, they might ask one of the partners to move there. But no, the associates never are asked to move or told to move or anything like that. It's only if they might have an interest they can explore that. We've actually had some folks, someone come to us from the Dallas office, someone came to us from the Cleveland office, so it kind of works both ways. But kind of one of the things we think is neat about it is there's a lot of geographic reach. What other questions might you have?
One other thing that I have been thinking about is in my search for, one thing that I'm looking for in a law firm is not only just an enjoyable place where I enjoy going to work, but also somewhere where I feel like I will get training and have the resources available to become the best lawyer I can be, as cliche as that might sound. But so I was wondering what are the kind of feedback training areas that Jones Day kind of has in place to develop young associates.
Yeah, I think we're probably a lot like most firms. We kind of have two kinds of training. One, I call it informal, and you just learn a lot by working with other people. But then we have a very formalized training program where every year everybody goes to Florida for 3 days, and we have CLEs throughout the year. And so I think one of the things you'll see when if you come for the summer is that we also have pieces of that for the summer, and you can spend lunches and so on. Do you have any other questions?
Those were the two main questions that I have, but is there anything else I can tell you about me?
No, I think we're good. I appreciate you coming in today, and I appreciate your interest in the firm.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Sometimes people will ask, well, what's your greatest weakness? They usually don't ask what your three greatest. That was a new
They don't like it necessarily, or perhaps they're sidetracked. And a very common thing you may encounter, and this does throw people for a loop, are the interviewers that just say, what are your questions? 5 minutes into the interview. And you really only had one, you made it up, and you asked it in the first 3 minutes, and what other questions do you have? And it's like, I don't have any more questions. But a lot of interviewers use that, or partway through they'll ask, and just a couple of suggestions. And these are the kinds of questions I think that work great for those people. You know, what do you do? Tell me about your practice. Tell me about the firm. Brett did a great job, you know, sort of saying, well, I know you have a lot of offices. How does that work in terms of moving around? Training. Tell me about your training. Come up with those kinds of questions. Because typically, if you're sitting there thinking, my God, how am I going to get through this 30-minute interview? You ask some questions like that, it will go very quickly. And you'll actually learn something about the firm. But I think people sometimes make the mistake of saying, well, do you have any questions? To say, yes, how long is your summer program? 14 weeks. Okay, you still have 24 minutes. Okay, you've now established this interviewer is either difficult, not particularly good at it, or that's just his or her style. So come up with some open-ended questions that will get the lawyer talking. It will accomplish your purpose of getting the interview over with, and if you'll actually learn something about the lawyer and the firm in the process.
I wanted to add on to that, too. I think if you're in that situation, it's a good idea to ask questions that are going to give you an opportunity to respond with something about yourself. So if you say to the interviewer, and you have 20 minutes left, can you tell me, I'm really interested in litigation. Can you tell me about your litigation practice? And they say, well, we do this, we do products of the bill. And you can say, oh, you know, I'm really interested in that. Last year, I was a paralegal for a year before I went to law school. I've worked on that. And here you have a whole story that you're telling the interviewer that they would need to ask. So if you think of questions that are going to give you an opportunity to sell yourself, that would be better. Or ask them.
One of the things that Marjorie did very well was push back a little bit in the kindest of ways. She was asked a question, basically, did you go to law school by default? Basically. And so that's kind of a trap question, because they want to know if you're just going to law school because you couldn't get into the business school you wanted. And she understood the risk in that question, and she came back and she talked very specifically about what she had done and how much she had enjoyed it and how it had solidified her decision to go into law school so it didn't look like a default at all. I don't know if you were intending that, but she did very well. And then and Jeff almost called her on the football question when he said, oh, I'm sure you're, you know, a Steelers fan when you interview in Pittsburgh, that kind of question. And she immediately responded with she's really serious about this, which was great, because I think sometimes for a woman to be able to push back a little bit and do it in a very nice, very business-like way gains the respect of the interviewer. So I thought you did extremely well as far as that was concerned. Getting the Jeff Sutton-Jones Day connection in was a good one, too. I know about the firm. I have one of your former partners as my professor. The John Grisham lunch story was not as good as the fish story, but he had a chance, but that was great. Right. And I just have a notation that when you asked the question about goals, you had a really good answer. I don't remember what the answer was, but I remember it. Do you remember what it was? Okay. All right. What did you think of the interview?
I think it's much easier to interview with someone that we've worked with Jeff over the summer and interview with him. So I think it's much harder in that kind of like same thing I've never met you before. Kind of like bogged down. get a sense for, in the kind of connection with the person you're interviewing with, what you see, or the danger in an on-campus one is just that it's so short. So you just want to make sure, like, especially if you're on campus having a couple things that you want to make sure you convey, could be like a really useful way to kind of bring your
I was just wanted to give one comment too about the what cities are thinking about booking and the plans to develop introductory seats that work there and very few, all of which would be fine because Jones Day has offices in all of those cities. And I think that if you were answering that question, you would say, and I'm interested in Jones Day because we do have offices in all of those cities, which you would say that if you were interviewing with a firm that actually only has offices in Columbus and people probably didn't want to tell them that they're interviewing all over. I just want to make that connection. Because again, I know that he knows it and you know it, but to make sure that if you're answering it, you are focusing on the city that employer.
Questions that you have of any kind?
Would there ever be like a limited charge question in the interview, or if that subject comes up, would there be a fear of failing in a particular interview?
That might happen. It doesn't typically happen at most larger firms. I think particularly smaller firms, maybe for example, they do all plaintiffs work, or they do, you know, that does happen. I know I had an interview once where we got into a political discussion, and I was clearly on the more liberal end of that particular discussion. But like in Jones Day, we're probably, you know, our managing partner is a Democrat. We have lots of prominent Republicans. We sort of are all over the map. And most firms, I think, are that. You might find that with respect to a particular client. For example, Jones Day, a lot of big firms have represented some politically unpopular. We represented the Cleveland Browns when they moved to Cleveland. Everybody hated us. You know, that was politically unpopular in Cleveland. And so you might get into a discussion, and as an interviewee, you say, I can't imagine who would be, you know, that's something where you might want to know, perhaps. Or, you know, tobacco or there's a lot of politically charged litigation out there, and at least being sensitive to it is, you know, you probably want to be sensitive to it, but I think most firms are very broad-minded in terms of the kinds of people they're looking for. The one suggestion I would underscore, both of these guys are great interviewees, and that's because they talk. They talk. Those interviews were great interviews because you have a simple question that they take it, they run with it, they work in a little story, and then move on. So if you can have one takeaway, I would take that away. They were sort of funny, but they were conversational. And the interviewee and the interviewee, they both love it. Actually, you can see interviewing can be fun. We would have stayed with that fish story for 20 minutes. This is not a real interview. But they talk. And I think if you can show some enthusiasm and some and be somewhat talkative, you'll do great in interviews.
I've seen a lot of these interviews, and this is really the best that we've ever seen. I mean, if the degree of comfort between the interviewer and the interviewee, and the ease with which it seems to flow, it got out of that, let me ask you a question, yes, you give me an answer. It got into conversation.